Thank you, gentlemen. Stayed upon Jehovah. Lost the rest of the words. Can't think of them now. Our hearts are fully blessed. Thank you. Thank you. Get one of those moments where it just happens, you know. Welcome to Berean Baptist Church. Those watching online as well, we welcome you. Auditorium is very well full this morning. And we are grateful for your attending and worshiping with us this morning. If you need the hymn book, let's turn to hymn number 66, God is Holy. Hymn number 66, God is Holy, if you need the book. And if you're able, would you stand with me as we sing, please?
This morning, as you can tell, I'm struggling with my voice here a little bit, so pardon me for that. Psalm 139, you have your Bible device. I encourage you to turn there and follow along as I read a couple of verses. We read a couple of them in Sunday School Hour. I'll begin again at verse 14. The psalmist says, I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Join me in prayer together. Lord, we thank you for this time together to worship you and praise you. To remember once again the spiritual battle that is before us. It's a battle of life and death. I pray, Lord, that we would continue to promote life, as you are the God who gives life. And I thank you, Father, for the ministry that, and others that are promoting that as well. Metro Women's Center, under Colleen's leadership and the staff, volunteers, we're so grateful for all of the work that they accomplish. As they proclaim your truth and allow that truth then to change abortion-minded minds to life. And so we're so grateful for that. Bless our moments together, Father, as we unite in song and worship. And may we be drawn closer to you. And may we be followers of your truth in every area of life to please you and to glorify your great name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8, verse 1. Hymn number 60, if you need the book, how majestic is thy name.
When I consider the works of thy hand, the sun, moon, and star above, what is man that thou thinkest of him who so unworthy thy love? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. Hymn number 42.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story of my love. In his boundless love and mercy, he will ransom freely gain. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer.
This month is 1 John 5:18. Let's say the reference, the verse, and then the reference together, all right? 1 John 5:18. My little children, let us not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 5:3:18. I said 5, it's 3. Sorry about that. We've been sick in numbers, I think, throughout the church, and even sick in numbers in the choir. And so it's been a few weeks, but we're going to get better, and we're going to keep practicing and have some music available to us once we all start feeling a little bit better. But hope, pray for us as a choir. We're down, and I think the flu bug is kind of going around our church, and pray that each other could be have the strength to get back to what we know is somewhat normal, all right? Hymn number 304. This is in tune with what Colleen Tronson is speaking on this morning. I'm adopted. One of the choices that the ladies have there at Metro Women's Center. I am adopted. Into his family through salvation. Our hymn of the month is Speak, O Lord, and we're going to sing all three verses. I'd like you to stand, if you would, as we sing these three verses. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word.
The really word. Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, be us holy reverence, humility, tongue, and our attitudes in the radiance of the purity. Cause your faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words are power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our mind. Help us grasp the heart of your plan for us. Truth unchanged from the dawn of time. My grace will stand when the and by faith will walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Thank you. You may be seated before Pastor comes to give us the morning message this morning, a men's trio to sing for us. I think we'll dismiss the children to junior church at this time, too, before we sing. All those 3 through 8, you can be dismissed to junior church at this time, all right?
Believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. Oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new, he that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. All my iniquities are inward laid, all my indebtedness by him was. All who believe on him the Lord has said, hath everlasting life. Though poor and needy I can trust my Lord, though weak and sinful I believe his word. Oh, glad message every child of God, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new, he that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. Though all unworthy, yet I will not doubt, for him that cometh he will not cast out. He that believeth on the good news shall hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son is true, hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son is true, hath everlasting, hath everlasting life.
Thank you, men. You sounded much better without me. I was planning to be singing with them. I told Barry that I could lip sync, and I was doing that during that whole song. What a blessing to have everlasting life. Amen. Words of power that will never fail. Any Christian ministry that is focused and intense on presenting the truth needs those words of power. And Metro Women's Center is one of them. They've been holding forth the word of power, the word of God, 34 years they first started. This church has been supportive of that ministry all through those years, I believe, and will continue to do so until Jesus takes us home, because we believe it's a very important ministry. And so we're thankful for Colleen Tronson and her staff, thankful for her husband Steve, all of the support that he gives to that ministry, and to all of you who are praying for them as well and giving. It's an important ministry. And Colleen's going to come at this time and share with us what God is doing and how God is working and using his word to change lives. It's good to have you with us, Colleen.
Thank you.
Your clicker's right here.
Okay.
If you need it.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for letting us come and share with you today. Really grateful to be able to be here. We're all a little sick, I think, around here, so we'll do the best that we can today to communicate God's word and truth to people. I'm really thankful, like I said, to be here today. I'm glad you're feeding us afterwards, because Steve and I are in the middle of a kitchen remodel. So our kitchen right now at home consists of a microwave and a microwave. So thank you for feeding us today. We appreciate that very much. When she entered the abortion clinic, she found people sitting there on colorful plastic chairs completing medical forms. As the woman crossed the room for the first time, not one person made eye contact with her. A nurse appeared and called the patient's name, and the woman stood and walked alone through the windowless doors, leaving behind the loved one that waited to drive her home after the abortion. Her turn came, and she passed through those windowless double doors and undressed and sat on an exam table. And she was afraid to have the abortion, but she was even more afraid to leave without having the abortion. She laid back on that table and allowed the abortionist to remove the baby from her womb. The abortionist used a vacuum suction machine that was attached to a glass collection bottle under the table. The woman cried, even though the nurse told her that it would be over soon. The baby died that day. A part of her died, too, as it went away through that suction tubing. Alcohol and drugs soon became that woman's good friends. She was soon pregnant again. The baby's father did not want her to abort her baby, but he still went with her to the abortion clinic. A nurse held her hand this time. During that procedure, the woman didn't cry, but she held her eyes tightly shut to avoid the pulling and the tugging that was going on inside her womb. Once again, her problem drained away through the suction tubing underneath the table. The woman continued to medicate herself with drugs and alcohol, and not surprisingly, she became pregnant again. This time, she went to the abortion clinic by herself. When the procedure was over, the doctor showed her the result of her abortion, and she was fuming because she couldn't believe how insolent he was. She was a paying customer, after all. How dare he show her what she didn't want to see? As that woman's life careened out of control, she found out she was pregnant for a fourth time, and she contacted a friend, hoping she would finance the abortion. She couldn't help the woman, and the woman debated about driving her car off of the cliff to end her life. But she was more concerned about not finishing the job, so she moved on. The woman picked up a Yellow Pages, that big book that we used to have with all the phone numbers in it, and she found the number for a Catholic Charities organization. She was confronted by the fact that she was well into her fourth month of pregnancy, and she began to reluctantly face the fact that she would have to carry that pregnancy to term. The following months were a painful moments of decision-making, and in March of 1982, I, that woman, gave birth to my son, Nick. Nick is now 41 years old, and I'm so grateful that he's alive. Whenever I think about abortion, I think about my son, Nick, and I think about my grandson that I have now, who's 14, and I think, had I succeeded in doing what I wanted with Nick, that Dominic would not be here. So in my mind, it's so clear that abortion ends generations. So during that fourth pregnancy, I made some outward changes in my life. I knew that I wasn't ready to be a parent, so I knew that adoption was the best plan for me. My heart hadn't changed, though, so within 2 months of my son's birth, I was back to my old ways. I was really sick for a long time, and when I recovered, I returned to work, and a customer began to talk to me about God. He would come in for pie and coffee at the restaurant where I worked at, and he would talk to me about Israel and Lebanon, and I'm half Lebanese, so he would share God's word with me. And he shared God's word with me, and in the Bible I found Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which told me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The promise of John 3:16 gave me hope. God so loved the world, even me, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I soon began to see the truth about my life from God's perspective. I was a haughty, proud, and a selfish woman, and I was in desperate need of a Savior. I finally yielded my rebellious and sinful life to him and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Mourning over my sin, I was comforted when I read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There have been plenty of scarlet in my life, but God, through his amazing grace, washed me white as snow. He did not give me what I deserve, but instead he showed me incredible mercy. You know, Romans 8:1 says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once I repented, God began to change me from the inside out. Someone once said that life can be the same after losing a trinket, but not after losing a treasure. And I lost three treasures when I aborted the lives of my children. You know, God granted me grace and mercy and peace and salvation from my sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. He also granted me the privilege of marrying that guy. I'm really grateful for Steve for sharing the gospel with me. There was another expression of God's grace in my life, too. Over the course of our marriage, God allowed me to have two more sons. And he could have said no. He could have said, "No, I'm sorry, you disrespected life too much." But he gave me the incredible joy of becoming a mother. And he allowed life to emerge from a place where death had previously reigned, not only in my heart, but also in my womb. For him, for that, I am very grateful. You know, I'm a woman who's experienced God's amazing grace from the transgressions of abortion and from my sin in general, and I will forever be grateful for someone who shared Christ with me. That's why I'm passionate about sharing Christ with people who are in crisis. God allowed us to start Metro Women's Center 34 years ago. What a huge blessing that has been. Pastor Don Odens was an integral part of starting that work, and I'm really grateful for people who took a chance on me, in a sense. I really have no biblical education. I have no degree in anything, but I have a heart for people, and I know what God saved me from, and I know what he has saved other people from. And he turned a mess of my life into a message of hope for other people, and I'm very grateful for that. So Metro Women's Center is one of 2,700 pregnancy resource centers throughout the country. We now, here in Minnesota, our pregnancy resource centers outnumber abortion clinics 11 to 1. Those are pretty good odds. We're really grateful for that. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for praying for us, for giving, for all your sweet little gifts that you send to our ladies. They just really love the idea of someone giving something to them. So in Minnesota, I guess we'll go. There you go. In Minnesota, Roe versus Wade's overturn was a moral victory, but abortion won't go away, especially here in Minnesota. In 2023, there were 14,000 abortions here in Minnesota. At the state capitol this year, they had fetal models of the 14,124 babies that were aborted. You know, I just think about all those babies of different ethnicities, different fetal ages, all those ladies, all those babies, those all represent mothers and fathers and families who didn't get an opportunity to love on those children. The abortions in Minnesota have increased by 2,000, even since the PRO Act was passed here in Minnesota. Many women have abortions not just because there's a fetal anomaly or a medical concern, but because they don't want to have a baby at this time, or that there's financial concerns, or that there's relationship problems. About 97% are done for those reasons that are not related to medical or fetal anomaly reasons. Today in Minnesota, 48% of all abortions are done with our tax dollars. Thankfully, the closest abortion clinic in Minnesota that is closest to our pregnancy center closed this last fall. That abortion clinic aborted 60,000 babies, and that's not even a very big clinic. So they have closed, and we're grateful for that. Please pray for the abortionist and the staff there. They haven't had a change of heart yet that we know of, but she just became too elderly to continue the work there and couldn't find someone to purchase the clinic. Minnesota has now become the abortion destination state since Roe was overturned. We're now surrounded by states that have restricted abortion. Minnesota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin have all restricted abortion. I was on a clandestine call with some pro-abortion folks the other day, and one of the organizations said, we're going to ask for $30 million from the state legislature to provide abortion stabilization funding in Minnesota during this next legislative session. Can you imagine? What a haughty spirit would ask for $30 million to kill Minnesota citizens. So in Minnesota, the way we are right now, there's no protection for minors. They can have abortions without their parents' permission. There's no protection for babies that are born alive after abortion, or even babies that are born alive or early with fetal anomalies or difficulties. The doctors are not required to provide medical care right now. They're only required to provide comfort care. You know, the only people that are protected from abortion in Minnesota right now are the abortionists. There's something called a shield law that protects abortionists from prosecution. I need to research that some more, but that just surprised me so much that those people are shielded. I pray today that as I share about our ministry, that you'll hear compassion and not condemnation to those who are in darkness. The abortionist is not the enemy. People are not the enemy. People are God, they are people who God loves who need to know him. Luke chapter 10, or 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save that which was lost. I was lost, and Jesus came to seek me, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, these things might be disheartening as you think about all the numbers of abortion in Minnesota and the number of abortion clinics and all the difficulties going on. But my friend Brian Gibson said it best when he said, we may be post-Roe and we may be post-Dobbs, but we are not post-God. And I truly believe that. Every day people come into the center, we get an opportunity to offer them hope and help and encouragement, and what a blessing it is to be able to share those truths with them. Some just say, no, I just want diapers. No, I just want formula. No, I just want rent help. But we get an opportunity to share Christ with them. At Metro Women's Center, we have three goals. This is our crew at Metro Women's Center. We've expanded a little bit this year. Kim and Joe live at the Amazing Grace Home. I'm the director of the center, and Chloe Emsley is our office administrator, and Renee Tanis works with our marketing, and Nancy King comes in and does some client services for us. So what a great opportunity to share with these ladies and Joe, he's our token guy, to share with them the joy of helping people. It says we have three words that talk about Metro Women's Center: defending life, restoring life, and sheltering life. At Metro Women's Center, we're passionate about serving people and offering hope and support to them. It's not only because their physical lives are at risk, but because there's also an eternal life at risk each time we speak to somebody. At Metro Women's Center, we are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 tells us that as believers, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As ambassadors for Christ, we have the joy of sharing the gospel and hope with people. We have to remember that we're always interacting with a person that God loves, and they are worth our purposeful care and attention. Many women say to us, you spend a lot of time with us when we come in. We say, yeah, we're not a doctor's office. We don't get 20 minutes a person. Sometimes people will come and spend an hour. What a blessing to be able to just listen well. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. So when we listen well, we can hear a person's story. And when we hear that story, we can minister better to them. I know before I was a Christian, I didn't like it when someone would, in essence, dump their gospel truck on me. And I'd be like feeling really like, oh, that's way too much. But if we can listen to their story, we can find common ground maybe, and we can find points of contact that we can share with people. So this is our, go back. Perfect. Thank you. So in the past 2 years, 10 babies' lives have been spared from abortion, and one woman trusted Christ. Since October 1st, we've had 4 ladies who are abortion-minded, and sadly, we don't have a way to contact them. They didn't give us permission, or they didn't leave a phone number with us. But thankfully, we had a lady in on Thursday, and she was abortion-minded, and I was able to send her next door to another pregnancy center that does ultrasounds. And she called me and said, I chose life for my baby. So sometimes we know the answer and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we know the end of the story and sometimes it's none of our business. We just need to pray and see what happens next. Kayla was one woman that came into Metro Women's Center. She was unsure about what to do. She was planning on abortion, but she couldn't follow through with it. She chose to live in one of our shepherding homes before we had the Amazing Grace home. And she found the love of her shepherding family to be a comfort to her. She said to me, why would a family that has 4 little kids open their home to a pregnant woman? And I said, Jesus. That's why. It's Jesus. She's still wondering about God. She hasn't yet come to trust Christ. But she said, I don't know what I would have done had I not found Metro Women's Center. She made an adoption plan for her son. And then later on, she ended up with another pregnancy. And she also placed that little girl with that same family. It makes me chuckle because the second pregnancy, she contacted me and said, I think I might be pregnant again. I said, okay, so let's talk. So we went and she did the pregnancy test in the bathroom. She did it away from me and she came back and she said, I'm not pregnant. I said, okay. I didn't believe her. And later on she said, I am pregnant. And I said, I know you are. She said, I wasn't going to tell you because I was thinking about abortion. But she said, I could hear your voice in the back of my head saying, don't do it. So she chose life for that baby, and that was pretty exciting. The trust that we had, she knew that I would care for her, that I would visit with her, that I wouldn't judge her and tell her how foolish she was, but that trust that we had built up saved the life of her daughter. Really thankful for that. I actually was able to go to her wedding recently. She married a wonderful young man, and they moved to, I think, Arizona. But very happy she is with her new husband. You can go to the next one. This is our restoring life piece. We love it when people make things for us. These ladies made quilts for the ladies. Your dear Wendy makes bags for us that we fill with things for the moms. And they're so surprised that somebody that they don't even know would make something for them specifically. So it's really a blessing and a ministry to have homemade items for our ladies. Over 78% of our clients that come into the center receive some form of a gospel witness when they're in the center, and over 50 Bibles were shared this last year. As I said, one woman trusted Christ earlier this year. We see women from over 20 countries, and most of our clients that come in are single and already parenting other kids when they come to us. So we really don't have a pregnancy crisis as much as we have a relationship crisis, a family crisis, a marriage crisis. So when we see guys that come into the office, we're thrilled, and we just treat them like kings. We love them when they come in and learn things about their children and try and share with them about marriage and about the importance of that stability for their family. Speaking of women from 20 countries, Tupi, that used to work for us, she's from Liberia. Tupi worked for us for 10 years, and now she's back in Monrovia. She started with New Horizons Adoption Agency. They started a children's home there. So they find children that are orphans in Liberia, and they work to help them come to America with adoptive families. I think so far they've brought 10 kids to America for adoption. So kind of an international flavor to what we do, and very excited about that work that they're doing there. We have financial aid programs at the center. We do diapers, wipes, car seats, pack and plays. Over 24 car seats were given out last year, and 280 bags of diapers. And the ladies earn points for the things that they need. You can go to the next slide. They earn points for the things that they need by working or going to school or doing classes. They also, there's some of Wendy's bags right there. They earn points for the things that they do. They go to their well baby checkups. They can stay in the program until their child is a year old. And we build some good relationships with the ladies in that way. You know, you will not find a bag of diapers or a car seat or anything else, any baby supplies at an abortion clinic. What's really interesting is that we've even had women who were referred to us from Planned Parenthood when they chose life for their children. And we say, bring them on. So we're really grateful to be able to serve those ladies. And then this over Christmas, you ladies made some bags for the ladies, and that's one of our ladies that received one of your Christmas bags. So thank you for those. Go to the next one. We do classes at the center in our Restore Center. The classes are educational about parenting, relationships, decision-making. Kim teaches those classes, and the gospel is woven throughout those classes. She's very good at bringing the gospel to bear on all of the things that she teaches. Sarah was a young woman who came to our center. She was 26, pregnant with her second child. She had scheduled an abortion at 3 different clinics. She said, I knew the process of going through an abortion would scar me forever, but I was scared. She said, I came to Metro Women's Center and I met with a volunteer, Judy. We began a Bible study and I found the hope and help I needed to trust God through this trial. I am thankful for this program. Sarah moved to California, and our volunteer Judy kept in touch with her by phone, and they did a Bible study together even when Sarah was in California. They're really thankful for that opportunity to minister to her even when she moved out of state. I'll go to the next one. So this is our third word, Sheltering Lives, at the Amazing Grace Home. It's a housing program for pregnant women. It's actually more like a program with housing attached. It's been challenging to get ladies to come to the house. One lady said, I don't want to live with you guys because you're white. We said, well, considering that most of the clients that we've had in our home have been African American, we don't understand that, but it's your decision. So right now I have 2 ladies that are interviewing for the home, and we had 1 lady living in the home up until last week. So it's been interesting to see how people come and go from the home, but we're grateful. We've had 53 ladies live there since we started. The home has a, you can go to the next one. The home has a warm family environment. It's a place of peace and of positivity. Kim has the ladies do different tasks. They listen to videos. They plan for their budget. They pack their hospital bag. They watch a video series called Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships. So there's all kinds of education pieces that happen at the house. We've been really blessed to have long-term relationships with the ladies that have come to the house. And I think that's important because it again shows sometimes with the pro-choice people or pro-death people, they say, you only care about these ladies while they're pregnant and you don't care about them after the fact. But as I said with our program, they can stay in it until their child is a year old. And then also the ladies at the house are more than welcome to come back and visit and get some guidance from us. So we have some beautiful outcomes. Like I said earlier, sometimes we know the end of the story and sometimes we don't. This is a picture is just full of positive, beautiful outcomes. There's Kim and Joe in the middle and the gal that's sticking her head out the side. Her name is Ayan. Ayan was a Muslim woman, and Ayan came to us, and she was pregnant, and she was trying to escape from her family. She had been pregnant previously, and her brothers had taken her to an abortion clinic and forced her to have an abortion. Her sisters went into the procedure room with her, and even though she tried to get the lady's attention who was helping her at the clinic, they still went through with the abortion. So after that happened, unfortunately, Ayan got pregnant again, and that's when we met her. So when she came in, she said, I need to get away from my family. They will kill me if I'm pregnant again. And they had beaten her before. So we helped her get into the Amazing Grace home, and she was there for about a week and a half. She was working a job. When she went to her job, unfortunately, her brothers found her, and they tried to take her. But thankfully, her cousin was there and was able to keep her safe from them. And so she came back to the house, and we had to figure out the next steps for her to remain safe. Well, thankfully, we have a relationship with a group in Iowa called the Ruth Harbor. They have a home like ours, so we were able to take Ayan and drive her to Iowa to be safe from her family. Well, just last week, Ayan gave birth to her beautiful little baby boy who's on the side there. And she said she's just been loving it there. She's been going to a local church. She's been reading the Bible. The house parents there have kids, and one of their little children every day comes up to Ayan and says, someday you're going to know Jesus like I do. And so she's just surrounded by people who love the Lord and who want to help her. So really grateful that she's there. And she says, I'm an Iowa girl now. I'm not coming back to Minnesota. I'm an Iowa girl. One thing she said to me really hit me. She said, strangers have become family. And why doesn't my family that's supposed to be my family, why don't they love me like you guys do? And my answer to her was Jesus. That's the only answer. It's Jesus. We serve a different God than they do. We serve the God of love and a God of forgiveness and hope rather than a God of punishment. The other little picture there on the side, the girl with the bow that's bigger than her head, she was just born a couple weeks ago to the resident that we have at the Amazing Grace home. Her mom did an excellent job while she was at the house. She saved a ton of money. There's no cost to live in the home, but we want people to save money while they're in the home so when they have their baby, they're able to get their own apartment and move forward with their life. So she saved, I think she saved about $8,000 from her job. She worked a lot of hours, really pushed into that. And I think she's still thinking about God. I'm not sure if she's come to Christ yet, but her little girl was born, and we're grateful for that. Again, she said things like, people that start out as strangers become like family. You do it again. So each year, we set aside a day to honor the infinite worth of every human life on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. But honoring the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is not simply a once-a-year occasion. Honoring life must flow from our hearts daily. I thank you so much for honoring life daily here at Berean. And I thank you for your prayers and your finances and your practical offerings that you do for our center. On the table out there, there's a list of prayer requests. Like I said, the list gets bigger and bigger every year as there's so many different facets to serving people in this area. So just a few things that you can remember to pray for us about. Pray as we share the love of God and the hope of the gospel with our community. Pray that we can offer the support to individuals before they reach an abortion clinic. Pray that our Amazing Grace Home residents will feel safe and loved in our home. And pray for our board and our staff that we will stay focused on the truth of God's word. With the advent of the abortion pill, many people are not even going to a pregnancy resource center. They're just going straight to the internet to find the pills. Or they're calling a Planned Parenthood or calling an abortion clinic and doing a telemed visit with a doctor and then getting the pills mailed to them. So the opportunities for us to reach them are becoming slimmer and slimmer. So just pray for that we will be able to reach people before they reach the abortion clinic. So here's some partnership that we've had with women over time. The little gal in the middle with Kim and Joe, she was in the home with her son. He was born at 1 pound, 6 ounces. He's now 7, and they're still in contact with her. The girl on the far side is the lady that just had her baby, and the family that's shown there, that young lady lived in our home when she was 18 and made an adoption plan for her child, and then she went on to get married, and she and her husband have 2 kids, so they're still in touch with Kim and Joe. She's actually in school for social work, so hopefully she can make a difference too, now that she's seen how people helping other people can make a difference. So thank you for helping us serve people who are of an infinite worth to God. Your prayers and your finances and your love are incredible blessings to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Colleen. Turn with me to Psalm 139 again. Just some closing comments that I'd like to bring. When the psalmist says, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, I wonder how often do we think about that? How God has knit us in our mother's womb and given to us life, which I believe begins at the moment of conception.
To know Him, to know His plan for us, how He made us. And the many mysteries yet of how the body works. The intricacies of cell growth and blood flow and nerve endings. It just boggles the mind. And all we can say is, thank you, God, for making us the way that you did. Marvelous are thy works, he says, and that my soul knows right well. We have much to praise God for, don't we? The ministry of Mentor Women's Center has been a great blessing to many, many women and their families. And we need to really pray for the men who are involved in this as well. They would know this God. That they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. They would begin to walk in a holy pathway that pleases Him. And the challenge for all of us here this morning is to continue to pray for their ministry. But also pray for us, each individual, as we seek to walk in a holy manner. So the question and challenge is, men, are you walking right with God? Having a right view of who He is? And how does He direct your life? Or the question is, are you willing to be directed by God to live for Him and His glory? So that's really the challenge before us, to continue to walk humbly with our God. Let's pray together. Steve will come and lead us in our closing hymn this time. Don't forget to stop by the table display after we have our Super Bowl meal. And we'll look for that fellowship around the tables as well. Thank you, Father, for this time together. We thank you for the ministry of your word. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce and divide, convict and change and transform lives. I pray you continue to use your word to accomplish that through the ministry of Metro Women's Center, through the ministry here at Berean Baptist as well. I pray, Lord, that we would seek to daily walk humbly with you, to think upon those things that are just and pure and lovely, of good report and honest. As Paul said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, we are to think on these things. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in prayer, fearless, boldly coming to the throne of your grace, to seek the help and wisdom that we desperately need for each day, that we would walk in a holy manner, soberly and righteously, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has called us to be a specially chosen people. And as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, help us, Lord, to walk in him each and every day. We pray, Father, for our time to follow as we fellowship around the tables, as we partake of the food that has been provided. We're so grateful for all of that. But most of all, Father, we're thankful for the spiritual food that you give to us. May we continue to feast upon it, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Stand with me if you would, please. I want to be faithful. I want to be true. Hymn number 312, if you need the book. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, in providing for the different things that we need, Lord, keeping us true to you, and for the things that you give us, Lord, but most of all, help us to be faithful to you in all that we do and say, and the things that we share with others, Lord. Help us to be faithful in sharing the gospel. Lord, as Colleen has presented the Metro Women's Center information this morning, thank you for their faithfulness to those women who are seeking whatever it might be, abortion, adoption. Lord, I pray that you would help them to realize their need of salvation and to choose life. Thank you, Lord, for what you will accomplish in our lives if we're faithful to you and you see your work fulfilled in our lives. We pray this in thy name. Amen.